And our guest, Dr. William Campbell Douglas, The Health Benefits of Tobacco, The Surprising Therapeutic Effects of Moderate Smoking and Secondhand Smoke. It is not winning everybody over onto his side, but even those people that are disagreeing with you, doctor, I think are disagreeing with you civilly. Are you used to this kind of disagreement?
Oh, yeah. It's routine, Ian. I can't expect people to take something like this and accept it right away, and they need to read other books, you think, just not mine. And one I mentioned earlier that I'd like to mention again, if you don't mind, because I think it's so important, the one I said that I think is more important than my book, and it's from the Fraser Institute in Canada. It's a very well-respected think-type organization, non-political, and they put out a report on passive smoke, environmental smoke, you know, secondhand smoke, but their title was Passive Smoke. And the subtitle is The EPA's Betrayal of Science and Policy. A very strong title from a group that is very careful about what they say. And the two authors are good scientists and good with good reputations, Dr. Gio Gori, G-O-R-I, and John Lewick. And I highly recommend this book. That's Fraser Institute, and it's they have a website, www.fraserinstitute.ca.
All right, let's go east of the Rockies for Kathy, who's been waiting very patiently for Dr. Douglas on Coast to Coast AM. Kathy?
Hi. Hi, Dr. Douglas. Hi.
Hi, Kathy.
Hi. I have two questions, which are both important, so I hope I don't get cut off. The first thing is, if we give up smoking and we're much healthier, the pharmaceuticals are losing money and they have to do something, like with alternative medicine and the Codex thing that's passing in Europe, so we can't take supplements. They would love it then if we smoked. So what I want to know is, have you ever gotten any money or worked for a pharmaceutical company or a pharmaceutical that had a parent company that wasn't a pharmaceutical?
No, I've never had any relationship with the pharmaceutical industry since I've been a doctor. Right after college, I was a drug salesman for a little company in Rochester, New York for a couple of years. But I didn't like having to wag my tail when I went into a doctor's office and tell him a lot of stuff about the products I was selling, which I didn't have all that much confidence in, so I gave that up early in life.
Did that little company turn into a big company?
Did this company turn into a big company?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was bought out. It was R.J. Strassenberg, a little company in Rochester.
Oh, and a company like Kraft owns cigarette companies. You're not funded by Kraft?
Oh, yeah, sure.
You are?
You never know who you're dealing with these days and so many mergers and so forth.
But are you funded by Kraft?
No, I'm not funded by anyone.
Because they own the cigarette companies.
Well,
next question is, I'm very open-minded, and I believe everything was put on Earth and possibly could cure things. Our Creator did that. So I'm open-minded to your controversial thing about the tobacco, because in its natural form, I believe it's possible it could cure things. But what about blackened lungs? Like, I don't think those pictures are airbrushed, and that would be conducive to cancer.
Yeah, you know, I think that's a good point. I mean, you see those photos, right? I mean, Dr. Douglas, it has to be that a percentage of people, you know, will die from smoking. So why not tell everybody, don't smoke?
Well, we've spent over 2 hours discussing the various reasons why they should smoke in moderation. And about the pictures of lungs, I'm very skeptical about that. I'd have to see, know the doctors who did those and the pathologists who did the reports before I would believe it, because they're almost too dramatic, and I question that.
All right.
I question everything, of course.
We've noticed the pattern. Thank you. Let's go to John west of the Rockies for Dr. Douglas on Coast to Coast AM. John?
Hi. Thanks for taking my call, Ian. First-time caller, actually, as well here.
Glad to have you.
It's surprising you mentioned the Fraser Institute. It's out of Calgary as well, there, doctor. It's kind of a funny little note. They were just talking the other day here in the news here.
I'm sorry, John. I didn't understand what you said. Would you repeat it, please?
Oh, no. I'm just saying because they mentioned the Fraser Institute. They're actually based out of Calgary there, too. So.
Oh, uh-huh.
Yeah. They were in the news the other day. Go ahead, John.
Well, my question is about, you were saying people using tobacco on a recreational basis. I had a friend who recently, he purchased an item called a vaporizer. where you put the tobacco product into a chamber. It heats it up to a certain temperature, and then he draws the vapor you missed out of it. Now, would that have any other medical benefits as well for an individual who's using it? He's using it to try to get off of tobacco. So
yeah.
I'm just wondering if there would there be any other medical benefits, or is it...
Well, there might be. John, I mentioned earlier, perhaps you weren't tuned in at the time, that the regular Turkish water pipe, if you use good tobacco, Turkish tobacco with it, can be smoked. And it's amazing. It's cooled. In fact, you even put ice in the water to make it even cooler. You get no sensation of burning or pain. I've only done it a couple of times, but I was really impressed. And you get an immediate mental rush from it. I've never had anything like it because I've never used drugs. And I was quite surprised at the rush I got from that. And I'm not recommending it to people, but I tried it, and I really liked it. It's too much trouble, so I don't do it. I rather smoke cigars because I don't like to inhale anyway. But so there may be something to that. I don't think there's any studies that have been done on it, but it's a good question.
Let's go with Cherie on the wild card line for Dr. William Douglas on Coast to Coast AM. Cherie?
Hi. Great job, Ian. Thanks for keeping Coast to Coast open on the weekends.
Thank you very much.
And Dr. Douglas, great newsletters. I subscribe to it.
Thank you very much, Harry.
Here's a thought for everybody to think about. I was talking to my mom. My mom smokes like 2 packs a day. Her lungs are clear. The doctor said, "Don't tell me you're a smoker." And she goes, "I am." He goes, "Fine, get out of here." But anyways, she's been smoking forever and a day. But I was talking to my mom about cigarettes and tobacco and all these people dying and millions of people dying. She sat me down. She goes, "I want to tell you something." She goes, "From the 1940s to the mid 1970s, when men went to the army and kids went to college, you know, graduated from high school and went to college, they were given a gift basket, and every gift basket contained a carton of cigarettes."
That's right.
And she said, "This is true." And she said, "Now, every one of these people smoke. Everyone I know smokes." She goes, "If this was true, what they were saying about the tobacco industry, and they were really killing that many people and causing all these diseases, we wouldn't have the Social Security funding problem we have now. They'd be all dead." She made sense when I got to thinking about it and checking things out.
I like and your mother.
I got researching on the internet, finding drdouglas.com. He has a lot of great info in there, people. Anyway. it really made sense, you know, and I got to think about it. I live in Juneau, Alaska. Years ago, 8 years ago, they put in the newspaper, they put nuke detectors up from the Russia coast down to the California coast because Russia admitted dumping nuclear waste and nerve gas into the oceans, and the 50-year-old barrels were leaking out. Now, where are we really getting lung cancer? What are we really breathing?
Well, it is the question of variables. And thank you, Cherie. That does go back to all the things we're talking about, genetics, and we talked about diet and some of the other effects both on women and men in this country and in other countries. Let's go to Jim, who's waiting on the first-time caller line for Dr. William Douglas on Coast to Coast AM. Jim? I had a Jim on the first time caller line too. I'm sorry. Well, let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll reset the clock. Make sure we got everybody lined up just right on Coast to Coast AM. My name's Ian Punnett. Well, we can say this for sure. The phones are smoking for the health benefits of tobacco. Dr. William Douglas is with us, and we've been enjoying our conversations with so many people from across the country. I think we got it all straight out here. Let's go with Jim, east of the Rockies, on Coast to Coast AM for Dr. Douglas. Go ahead, Jim.
Hello, Dr. Douglas.
Hi, Jim.
Hi. What I want to ask is that I'm a healthcare professional. I get medical journals, and every once in a while, something pops up where you see bar graphs. And I saw one day, didn't knock my socks off, but I mean, it made me wonder, where they had a situation about smoking and what it can do, what it can't do. But part of what it had in there was that it had somebody that smoked one or two cigarettes a day had less of a chance of developing lung cancer than somebody that never smoked at all. And I was wondering, does this mean that it might even add to sort of like an inoculation or a preventative or curative process to the situation where it's like you're introduced to the tobacco and then your body develops like antibodies? Because it was really strange that when I saw that, I thought, and I read it and reread it again, and it was just some obscure article that just threw it in there because you were talking about other things about tobacco. But when I saw that it said you had less of a chance of getting lung cancer from smoking one or two cigarettes a day than somebody that never smoked at all, really threw me. Have you ever heard of anything like that?
That makes sense.
Yes, indeed. And I mentioned some of that in my book, and it's something that needs to be investigated. As I've said before, I think a pack a day or less is is probably good for you. Ian disagrees, and I think he'd say, well, maybe six or so. But we don't know what the number is.
We just don't know what the number is. And that's the only thing I wouldn't want to say a pack a day when. And I don't know how you feel about this, Jim. I mean, I think when you said a cigarette or two, that makes a kind of sense to me. But when you start doing it with a pack a day, then I start going back to that idea of how many people really statistically would that benefit versus when that would start to become a rate of diminishing returns.
Well, that's a good point. And we don't really know the answer to that. One thing that's interesting in regard to this very conversation is that there is no definite dose response relationship between the heavy smoker who gets cancer and the light smoker who gets cancer. It's amazing. The amount of smoke makes no appreciable difference, it seems. So you wonder, this must be something missing here, you know?
All right.
It's something to think about.
I'll tell you a quick story. Again, this is anecdotal, but this came up in conversation when I bumped into somebody with whom I work who was a closet smoker. They kind of snuck a cigarette here or there. And I said, John, I didn't know you were a smoker. And he said, I don't smoke at home. He said, I don't smoke on the weekends. But he said, when I'm at work, I'll smoke two or three a day. And he said, at the most, four. And that's it. And he said, then I don't smoke at all for the rest of the week. And he said, recently, a friend of his was going in for a kidney operation and needed a transplant. And he had submitted himself to be a potential donor for this friend. And one of the leading donor surgeons in the country was reviewing his medical chart. And he said, how many cigarettes do you smoke? And he said, three or four a day. And the doctor said, good for you. And he was stunned. And he said, if you can hold it to three or four cigarettes a day, you're doing great. He said, just don't smoke more than that. And so maybe that's why that number sticks in my head, and I'm not inclined to say in any way to encourage people to smoke heavily. But let's go with Jonathan on the wild card line, holding on for Dr. Douglas on Coast to Coast AM. Jonathan?
How you doing?
Good, terrific. Thank you so much.
Yes, the only question I have for him is I've been a casual cigar smoker for a while, and there's one thing that I notice, and you know, tell me if I'm wrong here for noticing this, but when I smoke my cigars and I'm smoking them a little, you know, more frequently than I normally do, I notice that it seems like my metabolism is faster, which is good, you know, and I keep the weight off of me, and maybe that's one of the benefits I was thinking, you know.
Well, I agree with that, Jonathan.
And
I definitely agree with that.
And why is that, though?
Well, this always comes up. Why does it do this, or why does it do it? We don't know the answers to that, and we don't know what causes cancer. So there's a lot of things we don't know that people think we know.
But isn't nicotine the what we're talking about here? Isn't that what accelerates his metabolism?
Yeah, probably. Studies mentioned in my book, by the way, Ian, about research that was done in Florida. They gave nicotine to patients who were having heart surgery and the Roto-Rooter thing we were talking about.
Right.
And giving them small doses of nicotine greatly decreased the number of restenosis, I mean, re-plugging up of the arteries of the heart. Very interesting.
Wild card line for Paul, for Dr. Douglas on Coast to Coast AM. Paul?
Howdy, y'all.
Howdy.
I'm down here in Jonesboro, Georgia.
Always nice. I've been there many times.
Yeah, I'm about 15 minutes from Hartsville. Well, if the traffic's right. Could be 15 minutes, could be 2 hours.
Yeah, that's definitely Atlanta area, Georgia these days, isn't it?
Yes, sir. It's really isn't a tobacco-related question. It's more, I heard him, Dr. Douglas mention his upcoming book on medical marijuana. And I was just wondering if he had heard of a lady named Dr. Joanna, I think it's Ludwig. It might be Ludwig. But she was a biochemist. And food oil companies, years ago, had hired her to research if there was any association with hydrogenated oils and stuff like that. Excuse me. I just couldn't believe I got on there.
Okay.
I was taking a swallow of tea here.
I appreciate that, but I got to move along if I can a little
but,
bit.
But what she found out was, yes, there was, you know, an association with hydrogenated oils and cancers and tumors and such. And she started researching it, and she found that she could make, like, a peanut butter-like substance out of the hemp seed. And also she cold-pressed the seed into, like, food oil, you know, for cooking or dressing or whatever. And she also used sulfur-enriched milk, and she cured just about every kind of cancer that there was, and she totally dissolved tumors. And so the food oil company's like, you know, we can't let this get out, and buried her and her information. And I was just wondering if he heard about her.
Joanna Ludwig is well known among us who are in the alternative medicine field. Yes, yeah, she's a fine scientist, and I greatly respect her work. It needs to be repeated, of course. We need to do that on everything we do in medicine. But I think I have a very high regard for her. My family, by the way, is from Cherokee County, Georgia. You'd like to know that.
But don't we have to be very careful when we say we've cured cancer? You know, when we see something like hemp oil made into peanut butter cures cancer, I'm just afraid of the number of people who will, without, you know, the proper support or scientific, as you mentioned, sort of double checking on that, will kind of go with that. And I'm a little worried about that type of
information. Well, I am too.
Okay.
Ian, that's a very common problem, you know, we have in medicine, on both sides, whether you're conventional medicine or alternative medicine. People make a lot of claims, and people jump at it, and it's a great way to get rich quick in the health field, if you pick out something like that, and before they realize it doesn't work, the person recommending it has made a big pile of money. That's a problem. It really is.
First-time caller line for Heather on Coast to Coast AM. Heather?
Hi.
Hi, you're talking with Dr. Douglas.
Hi, Dr. Douglas.
Hi, Heather.
Hey, I wanted to tell you that right now my friend and I have been talking about a cigarette that's high nicotine, low tar, and no additives, and how that could actually be beneficial. I have asthma and COPD, but I believe it's mostly from the additives. Like, you know, the formaldehyde and all that stuff they've been putting in it more than the nicotine, because Native Americans use tobacco forever in their pipe ceremonies and stuff. And it, you know, it didn't hurt them that I know of. But then when they started making the cigarettes with all the additives, that seems to be when people started to get real sick.
Well, that may be a connection that Dr. Douglas is willing to make or not make. I don't know. But we'll come back here in just a minute, and we'll do one more round of calls. They are coming in for Dr. William Campbell Douglas on either side of the discussion. The Health Benefits of Tobacco. Every time I read the title of the book, I have to keep adding a question mark, because I don't know it, but he certainly makes some interesting cases for this. And we'll go international line and everybody else that's holding on right now on Coast to Coast AM next. My name's Ian Punnett. And good luck getting through, too, although I'll try and get an open line for you coming up here this last half hour we have with Dr. William Douglas. The book is The Health Benefits of Tobacco, The Surprising Therapeutic Effects of Moderate Smoking and Secondhand Smoke. And we will continue to explore this topic on both sides with your calls. Let's go east of the Rockies where Jim is hanging on for Dr. Douglas on Coast to Coast AM. Jim?
Hey, good morning, Ian. How you doing?
I'm doing so well. Thanks for joining us.
Dr. Douglas, I'd like to discuss with you a couple of topics. The first one being marijuana. The Native Americans, prior to the white man coming over, did not have tobacco. They weren't smoking tobacco. And aside from the braves and the Indians that were killed in wars and whatnot within the indigenous tribes, seemed to have lived a lot longer lifespan than you would expect for the time period. Just wondering what your thoughts are on that, and then I have one more quick
question. Are you making a connection there, Jim, between smoking pot and living longer?
I'm sorry?
Are you making a connection between smoking pot and living longer?
I'm just wondering what the doctor thinks on that.
Dr. Douglas?
Well, I don't have any thoughts on it at all. It's news to me that the Indians didn't smoke because the peace pipe is well known. And I think they introduced tobacco to the Americans and the Europeans who came.
I thought they did too. So what was your follow-up, Jim?
My follow-up was, if you listen to the government, basically everything's going to give you cancer.
Right.
I mean, everything from the nicotine and the additives in the tobacco to the additives in our diet sodas to all different kinds of food groups. I'm really hesitant to listen to anybody that tells me, well, this is going to cause you cancer, or this is not going to cause you cancer, because the truth is, I know people that haven't smoked and have had healthy eating lifestyles, work hard all their life, and they still come up with cancer.
Hey, Jim, I'm going to ask you a question that I don't want you to feel like you're being pounced on here, but are you high now as you're talking to us? Now, you're stoned, aren't you?
No, I am. I am not a proponent of using marijuana, and I do not use it myself.
All right, thank you, Jim. Let's go.
A classic example, Ian, is what he's saying is Jackie Kennedy. You know, she died of breast cancer, and she made the remark. She said, "I did everything right, and look what happened." So the sad commentary. But that's what she said. He's got some good points.
West of the Rockies, where Janet is waiting on Coast to Coast AM for Dr. William Douglas.
Hi, Ian. Hi, Doctor.
Hey, Janet.
Hi, Janet.
I really am behind a lot of what you're saying. It seems like tobacco itself isn't the problem. And I'm wondering if you can also speak to the fact that our lifestyles have changed so much. We have more pollutants in the air, as you've written about. In other places, the food supply, isn't as high quality. And I'm also wondering if the fact that we have a sedentary lifestyle where we're not exercising our lungs the way, we did 30 years ago, if that might also play a part in this.
I think that's a good point about exercising our lungs and not just our legs. Dr. Douglas?
Well, Janet, the second half, comment on exercise. I agree with it to a point, but I think the exercise craze, as I call it, is greatly overdone. Young girls out there pounding the pavement, and they end up with knees that make them look 40 years old, and the orthopedist sees them. It's just overdone. I'm not saying that exercise is bad, but I think it's greatly exaggerated as a health factor, way exaggerated. If you take a good walk every day and smoke a good cigar and have a nice glass of beer or something, that's enough exercise. That's a little hyperbole there, but you know what I mean. And the first part, you know, what was the first part? I'm smoking a cigar here. You were asking about the pollutants. Yes, okay. I've just been writing an article on something that fascinates me because I think it's extremely important for lung cancer. We're told that fluoride is bad for you. Okay, I agree with that. I think zero tolerance is what we should have on fluoride. But something else that people don't think about in the water is chlorine. And we all, most everybody, takes a shower. People don't use tubs much anymore. And you're inhaling a huge amount of chlorine from your shower. And I wonder, I think that a study definitely needs to be done to see what's going on with chlorine in the lung tissues. I think that may be a cause of cancer of the lung.
That's good. Thought. International line for Roger, and then we'll get a break in and get our last calls coming up on Coast to Coast AM. Roger?
Yes, hello.
Hi, you're talking with Dr. Douglas.
Hello, Ian. How are you doing?
Thank you, Roger. Well, thank you.
I'm a first-time caller, and I'm glad to finally make it here to Coast to Coast. Hello, Dr. Douglas.
Hello, Roger.
I've studied a lot about how things affect the health as far as like indoor health goes. First of all, I just want to say, you know, I respect your study. However, I'm not definitely going to condone, you know, smoking. I know for a fact there's about 30,000 carcinogens in a cigarette, just known carcinogens. And as far as who gets cancer, most of that has to do with, like, how people's bodies have resistances to it. And it also has to do with your environment. For example, if you're in, let's say you live in a large house and you're a smoker and you keep the windows open, your chances are probably way less than if you live in a smaller house with mold or dust and pollen or, you know, a pet.
Okay.
Also health effects too.
All right. Thank you, Roger. Dr. Douglas, a comment or should we go to the break?
Nothing in particular.
All right. Thank you so much. We'll just line up our callers right now. Here's your chance, your last chance to get in for the conversation with Dr. William Douglas, the health benefits of tobacco. Could it possibly be true that you could smoke tobacco and inhale nicotine and live longer, relieve the symptoms of Alzheimer's and Parkinson's, optimize your weight, improve your heart health, and reduce your risk of various cancers? Dr. Douglas, tracing the research in his book, coming up next on Coast to Coast AM. My name's Ian Punnett. Michael has the patience of a saint on the wild card line for Dr. William Douglas on Coast to Coast AM. Michael?
Hi, sir.
Wonderful tonight. Thank you for joining us.
Hi, thank you, sir. I've got a couple of questions here, if I may ask the doctor, Mr. Dr. Douglas.
Yes.
I'm 36 years old. I never drank or smoked anything in my life, and I used to be a real good athlete, used to be. And all my friends that smoke and everything else, every morning they get up, they're hacking up yellow stuff, coughing, and everything else. I'm a full-time professional magician, so I spend a lot of times in nightclubs where there is a lot of smoke in the atmosphere. And I notice that when I do not go to those places and I have shows at other establishments where they can't smoke, I breathe a lot better the next day. And, I mean, my friends that just smoke now, they still get up in the morning and they still cough real bad and breathe real bad. You think that has anything to do with the smoking?
Well, it might very well. If they're getting too much smoke, why not? Sure. If I accidentally inhale one of my cigars, it almost knocks me out. But cigarettes are a different story, and smoke-filled room is going to affect some people, especially if they're sensitive to smoke.
Yeah, I think the thing you said before about some people being allergic to smoke was interesting.
Yeah,
I never heard that before.
Yes, indeed, they are. That's true.
So maybe then, Michael, I mean, again, these are variables which I can't possibly address, but as Dr. Douglas has said, moderate smoking may be what your friends should be doing more of, and or that you are just more sensitive to smoke, period.
Another problem, Ian, is that some people have an addictive personality. If they smoke one cigarette, they're going to smoke 40. And people like that should never touch tobacco or anything else that is even moderately addictive, because they're going to be addicted to something usually. And so, they just shouldn't smoke at all. And I know a lot of people like that. They simply cannot smoke one cigarette without smoking a pack. They shouldn't smoke.
And let's go to the wild card line, where Jeff is waiting on Coast to Coast AM for Dr. Douglas. Jeff?
Yes. Good morning, Ian and Dr. Douglas.
Good morning, Jeff.
Enjoy the show, and I enjoy your newsletter, Dr. Douglas.
Thank you very much.
I've got a couple questions, if I can get one that's not related to tobacco in, but the tobacco one. I've noticed smoking cigars, where I accidentally maybe came across this thing where I don't inhale, or relatively little inhalation takes place, but I'll draw the smoke into my mouth, and I'll roll it back out through my nasal passages. It gives it a much stronger, much greater flavor, a whole different flavor to the cigar.
That's right.
But I've noticed at times where there'll be, I'll just get a lot of irritation, and to the point of some serious soreness through my nasal passages. I'm sure 3 or 4 cigars a day isn't considered along the low end of the scale as far as what you're talking about health-wise, but even if I've gotten down to where 1 cigar a day for a period of time, I'll still notice a certain amount of irritation in there.
Yeah, it'll vary with the cigar. I have that happen too, and my mouth burns, and I just put it out and don't smoke one for a while. That's going to happen, because there are no 2 cigars exactly the same, and so that's going to happen, even if you are smoking a high-quality cigar from the Dominican Republic or Nicaragua. That just happens. But as far as your nasal passages is concerned, and having the smoke going up into your nasal pharynx, that's okay. Your lungs are not going to get that smoke. As I've said so many times, environmental smoke, passive smoke, is a total fraud. You need to read the book Passive Smoke from the Fraser Institute to get the whole story. But it is a complete fraud.
Let's go wild card line, where Felix is hanging on for Dr. Douglas. Felix?
Hello, Ian. Hello, Dr. Douglas.
Hello, Felix.
Dr. Douglas is like a breath of fresh air.
Well, that wouldn't be healthy.
Cigar smoke.
You know, my whole thought on all this, actually, I've heard a lot of what Dr. Douglas has been talking about, and what I've always wondered, as they try to clamp down on smoking and they try to make more things illegal, I can't help but if it doesn't play into the whole kind of Big Brother conspiracy thing in a way, as they try and take away our freedoms.
My comment to that, Felix, is that the first, in the 20th century anyway, great anti-smoker who tried to stamp it out and didn't succeed was Adolf Hitler. It was
right.
A big part of his program, whatever that means.
Well, I don't think it's a hard sell here, Felix, to get Dr. Douglas to say something inflammatory about the U.S. government or critical of the U.S. government.
That's,
I think,
right.
He's very ready to jump into that conversation. Just reading the book will show you that. And it is interesting of the number of posters you have in there from Adolf Hitler on anti-smoking, and how...
With the cartoons.
Yeah, many of those are echoed in posters that you'll see around... schools. Although his idea was that people shouldn't smoke because that would make them addicted to something other than what he wanted them to be addicted to, which is his rule.
That's right.
Yeah.
Precisely.
All right, let's go first-time caller line for Bill on Coast to Coast AM for Dr. Douglas. Bill?
Hello, Ian. Dr. Douglas?
Yes, Bill?
The last caller kind of took my thunder. I was going to bring up the idea of infringing on liberty, that the anti-smoking forces were, it's almost like a moral crusade in a way to try to...
Oh, indeed. Yes, it is.
That I don't think health is really the issue. Whether it's good for you or bad for you, It's about control.
It's about people control. That's right.
Yeah,
exactly.
Okay. And I'm getting frightened all the time at the extent to which they're going.
Just think about this. In the city of New York, it's illegal to have an ashtray in your office, even if it has paper clips in it. Now, how absurd can you get?
I hadn't heard that. Is that true?
Yeah, it's
That's
true.
Not
so
true.
Help me.
All right. East of the Rockies, Howard on Coast to Coast AM for Dr. Douglas. Howard? Howard, are you there? If not, we'll move along. Howard, going once, going twice. This would be Howard's end. Let's go west of the Rockies where Jim is waiting for Dr. Douglas on Coast to Coast AM. Jim?
Yeah, Ian and Dr. Douglas, it is an absolute pleasure to listen to what I've been hearing tonight. I really had some important information and a lot that many people have never heard before. First of all, I started smoking because when I was 9 years old, a friend of mine had asthma, and he was prescribed a cigarette with green tobacco in, which we finally got him to let us try, and I became hooked on smoking. I'm 67 years young now. I have been smoking ever since. I've had chest x-rays in the military for 27 years, every one of which came back normal chest. I've never had any problems whatsoever. I have only seen 4 doctors in 45 years.
Congratulations.
For things. And at one time, the Surgeon General of the United States used to appear on television and recommend for the relief of stress that people smoke. Then, when they did the first Surgeon General study on tobacco in relation to lung cancer and emphysema, they come out connecting those. But at the very same time, and I was 11 at that time, there was a little article buried in the middle of a newspaper from either New York or Philadelphia that said the Surgeon General has ordered all gynecologists and other doctors routinely giving the old dosage of x-rays to mothers and their fetuses, and they would cease doing that and give a lesser amount because in 35 to 37 years, all of the fetuses and their mothers that got the old dosage of x-ray would develop cancer. Now, bringing it forward 37 years almost to the date, we had an outbreak of unexplainable cancer across the United States reaching almost epidemic proportions, which caused a panic in the American Medical Association and other medical associations that they were going to soon get sued out of business. So they met in the middle of the night, and in the morning they announced that it was caused by secondhand smoke.
Yeah.
Now, that's interesting. Dr. Douglas, have you heard of that before?
Yes. This is very common knowledge to those of us who really studied this in depth. The whole thing is rather shocking and frightening, really. One article that I wanted to mention, I know we're running out of time here, Ian, but it's very important. It's the New England Journal of Medicine, which is the most respected medical journal in the United States. They did a study on so-called side stream smoke. The author, John Baylor, University of Chicago, was attempting to prove that side stream smoke was a bad thing. And he was very apologetic in his summary. He was very, you can see he was disappointed. He said, and I'm going to quote this, "Therefore, I regretfully conclude that we still do not know with accuracy how much or even whether exposure to environmental tobacco smoke increases the risk of coronary heart disease," unquote. From the most respected journal in the United States.
Well, that in itself might be what some people would need to go to drdouglas.com. You can find out more information about Dr. Douglas's work, sign up for his newsletter, and thank you for being such a wonderful guest that you were willing to take all of these different questions and opinions with such aplomb.
Well, you're a great host, Ian. I do appreciate it very much. You want me back sometime? Just give me a call.
Well, thank you so much. We'll talk about something else. Well, and for now, too, let's hold in our thoughts those people in New Orleans and the Gulf Coast area and stand with them at this time, this crisis, and keep track of that storm. And if you smoke and if you pray, then practice what the Native Americans did of allowing those prayers to go up to God and hope that they'll all survive and it'll all be okay. In the meantime, Keep listening. Coast to Coast AM, Deus Tiamat, and I do too.